On this men's health segment, we have our mental health specialist back, Pooja Parikh. She was here and she explained the mental mindset behind why men cheat. And now she's here back to answer the flip coin of that question on why do women cheat? What's their motives? Is it anywhere near why men do? Do we share the same motives, the same reasoning, same logic? Are women really from Venus and men from Mars? Or are we just on the same planet and we're just vibing on different frequencies? Does the love language really have any validity? She's here to answer that and more.
How's your week been thus far?
It's been an okay week, man. Well, you know what? In Florida, it's been a little bit cooler than usual.
I know. I hate it.
I love it.
I freaking hate it.
We could bring out the minks now.
The minks. You look like the type that is like, you were hitting cross-dressing when you were growing up.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding.
Are you on one today?
No, I'm not on one.
You own one.
I'm on several. You know why? Because I'm excited.
What are you excited about?
Because you know what? We got degraded last week. The last segment we had with men's health.
Okay.
We got torn apart our reputation. And now it's time for the women because we are equal.
We are?
Opportunists here.
I don't know if we're equal, bro.
You don't know if we're equal?
I don't know.
We had great feedback. People actually love that show. And it was the dark horse, the black elephant in the room that
I think it was very informative, you know?
Very informative.
Open our eyes to new things.
Absolutely. And people happen to love how Parikh handled it.
Pooja.
No, I can say Parikh, Miss
no,
Parikh.
No, you can say Pooja.
You know why? Because her husband loves when I say that.
Oh, you think
it's
so?
It's a reminder. Yeah, it's like, psh.
You know what's even crazy, though? My wife heard the episode with Pooja. And she loves her voice.
I was going to say that her voice is lovely.
Everyone loves your voice. It's so calm.
Well, actually, I'm going to let her come in. Pooja.
Hi, thank
you. She said I can call her Pooja.
Yeah, she did.
You can call me Pooja. She gave you permission. PTP, whatever you remember.
PTP. PTP. Oh, yes, right, because her middle name is, what is
Trivedi,
it, Raymond?
Trivedi.
Trivedi.
I knew my boy Raymond had it, for sure. I gotta stop. Hold on.
I'm gonna make up a name for you.
Yeah, you can make up a name for me.
You might need to.
I'm gonna call you guys R&R.
R&R. That's funny. Double R. Yo, that's Raymond's old.
That's what I call him and his brother.
Yeah, he calls me my twin brother.
Their old boy band.
Yeah. It was never called Double R, but yeah. And I'm not gonna tell you the name. Like I said, that.
He's not proud of it.
No, I'm proud of the name that we had as a boy band, but I know it can resurface because everything comes in time. So why would I give out that name for someone else to use? You know what I mean?
I got you.
Like, I see potential. I see things happening.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. I am. I'm a trademark.
But we're not here for you and your brother. We're here for...
No, we are here for me and everyone else. No, kidding. Pooja, gosh, you messed me up, dude.
Thank you,
Mrs. Parikh.
Don't just call me P. I have some of my kids that I work with just call me Miss P.
That sounds, you know, kind of inappropriate for men's health. You know what I mean? Men's health and P just is not. I mean, we're not talking prostate here, but
it means to worship in Sanskrit. That's an Indian name.
Ooh,
how about that?
Yeah, the whole ritual when you pray
a lot.
When you're praying, you're doing a puja.
There you go.
It's worship.
Mm. That explains a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, okay.
What does that explain?
Oh, we're just going to leave it
You just shut us down right there.
We're just going to leave
it at that. Tell me more about that.
No, we're just going to leave it at that. No, explains it. But no, we had great feedback from that topic. And this week, we wanted to touch on the subject. Mm-hmm. So we had men, we understood a little bit more into our psyche, why men step out, why men cheat, why men seek alternative relationships. Is that right? Am I saying the right thing? Alternative relationships lifestyle?
Are they not faithful?
Yes.
Or just infidel, or having affairs.
Yeah. Yeah, having affairs or even considering it, right? Mm-hmm. So, let's touch on this week, why do women cheat?
Pooja?
Good question.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I am going to say that there isn't a huge difference between like men and women and what their needs are. But for women, it is been indicated in some of the research that extramarital affairs is usually related to emotional neglect in their primary relationship. So it's a little bit more than solely needing the physical needs met, but it's about that the emotional connection and feeling, you know, wanted, feeling desired, feeling thought of during the day.
Right.
Because, you know, as we get through a relationship and you've been together for a while with somebody, your body changes, the way you feel about yourself changes, like you get comfortable and things get, you know,
complacent.
So complacent and just kind of in the moment, especially when you start to have kids in the picture. So for women, they found that sometimes it's kind of gaining that sense of self-esteem back about their identity. Somebody outside of being a mother and a wife, you know, they're finding their inner woman. And often, in some cases, anger, like seeking some sort of way to address some betrayal that they felt emotionally from a partner.
So it's more so. So from what you're saying, it's more so emotional for women, but it is a little emotional.
A little
for
bit
men.
More. Not a little like bit, there wasn't such a high number, like the difference is so statistically significant. But there was slightly more people or women that do tend to engage in like extramarital affairs or sex with multiple partners for emotional reasons.
Emotional reasons.
What about abuse?
So I guess that would kind of come out of like anger seeking that revenge, but also like neglect and abuse sort of just falls into a very different category. So I guess sounds like you're referring to like if a woman's in an abusive relationship with her male partner.
No, I was referring to, let's say, maybe
like emotional or abuse, verbal abuse.
Maybe what about child abuse when she was younger, or what about something in that regard?
Yeah, that can absolutely happen. Some reenactment of, you know, if there's a trigger from their past trauma related to sexual abuse, that can certainly lead to some reenactment, which would then come through other men. Because again, they're putting themselves in that situation of being sort of loss of control, putting back that, you know, the trauma situation, the environment, the way it was, seeking a certain type of a male. So maybe someone that's more dominant or dominating or alpha, so to speak. That can be one. ADHD, again, plays a big role because women too can have that and get bored. What else?
Well, yeah, definitely there to touch on that, because when you mentioned the child abuse or sexual abuse as a child, I remember dating a girl. Her name was Roxanne. You saying Roxanne like Sting? I'm singing the other Roxanne, the hip hop version. What was it, Roxanne? Roxanne? Oh. Dum, dum, I want to be your man.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know that one.
You don't know the one?
No,
you just
she's from the West Coast. That's why.
Nah, bro.
I'm from the West Coast.
No, but you should know that. It's like a classic. Roxanne. I want to be your man, right? I want to be your man. Wasn't it like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds familiar, but yeah, I don't know. If I hear it.
Probably not your favorite, but we forgive you. But I dated this girl.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So I dated her, and I didn't know she had sexual abuse. I found out later, which is really grossed out. But she was sexually abused by her grandfather, she just had this high sexual appetite,
drive.
Yeah, but. And so she would, you know, cheat, and it would be with anything, you know, boy, girl, different people. Right. And I've noticed with a lot of girls, it's so funny. I don't know if I grew up in a generation that it was just, there was more of that than you realized. Mm-hmm. So it opened up her to, I would say,
lesbianism? Is that a term? It is a term, lesbianism, right?
I don't know what the correct
is. It lesbianism? No, is that the term?
I wouldn't say your sexual identification.
Yeah, well, she was
lesbian.
Bisexual. There you go. She was
bisexual. You're into men and
yeah. So women. She was bi. Okay. So she was bisexual. There you go. So she went both ways. So I've noticed a lot of women or a lot of girls at age. I don't know if it was my generation. There was a lot more of that being done as far as some type of sexual abuse, whether it was from a family member, but they were more so sexually driven. They had a high sex drive or like you said, wanted to be
hypersexual. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can see why that would play as an adult, because you keep on, you hold on to those habits, especially if you haven't sought out after professional therapy or
right.
You know,
well, that goes
back. Do you know how old she was when the abuse happened?
And from what I mean, I don't want to be called a lie, but I think around, I'd say 8 or something. Ugh.
Yeah. It's actually very common for young girls or women in their past to have been, or even in the present, to be raped by somebody that they know versus someone they don't know. And at that age, the brain is developing and it's so, I guess, it's not fully developing.
Mm-hmm.
So when things like that happen at such a young age, it completely changes your neurobiology. So the connection then gets made that this is how my worth is, my self-esteem is counted. So if I'm wanted and desired by men, then therefore I'm worthy. That's my role. Mm-hmm. And it's the wiring in your brain that gets made that way because it's such a profound experience. I remember hearing about a case study during a course and a seminar, mm-hmm. on child sexual abuse. And it was about a young girl, 7 years old, and her stepfather would, you know, always go into her bedroom mm-hmm. at night and, you know, rape her essentially. And when asked, why didn't you like say something sooner to anybody? And the little girl said, that was the only time he was nice to me.
Oh my gosh, that is really sad and sick.
Ooh. And so that changes your brain circuitry. I mean, if that's the only time he was nice to her, then that's positive reinforcement, right? To her, like that behavior meant, okay, he's going to be nice to me. So this is a good thing.
Wow.
Otherwise, he would hit her, you know, punish her in very horrible ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that became the undesired, you know, thing that she wanted from him. So his other behavior alternative, which is obviously unacceptable, became the norm for her and the more desired reaction from him.
That's sad. You know, no, very sad. Very so that definitely becomes your identity. That becomes how you see yourself. You see yourself. I don't know if the term sex object is right, because
you get objectified.
Yeah, you objectify. You see yourself objectified by men, and the only time they're nice to you is when they're making sexual advancement.
Right. Yeah.
So that would definitely play an infidelity in a marriage where you get a husband, he's paying attention to you, and then all of a sudden, you know, time goes by and the honeymoon phase fades, and all of a sudden now your neighbor or someone's paying attention to you, giving you that high, or someone in the grocery store or whatnot, and then you reactivate that
feeling.
Yeah, I guess that feeling
something wanted, or like, oh yeah, this person wants me, needs me. Like your brain has trained itself to react to that. Right.
Yeah.
So you're gonna take it.
That goes back
not always, but in some cases.
It goes back to what you said last, our last session, when you said, if you never heal from what hurt you, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. Mm-hmm. That's what I wrote.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote that day in the stall.
Right, and then, you know, no, that is, and I don't know, I really wish I could figure out who said it. I mean, it's not my quote, but
You're welcome again. You're welcome.
Are we? Did you want to switch to talk about narcissism?
No. No, we don't want to do a case study on Ray today, but thank you.
So good.
We'll pass. Not about Ray today.
Interestingly, So, you know, in some cases, it's also something as benign as like one person didn't know they were in a committed relationship or a monogamous relationship and the other one thought they were.
Well, so it's a lack of communication, do you think?
Yeah, lack of communication, lack of maybe accepting the reality of the situation.
Wow. Do you think it's...
I can believe that. I can see that.
Yeah. You think because of just how our society is, where it's less communication happening and everyone just assumes?
I think, you know, like, I'm the OG of the millennial generation, I guess.
get it, dog.
Yeah.
I'm the year that they would consider you a millennial. Mm-hmm. But I think back then, you know, used to like, you go out, the boy asks you out or vice versa. And people actually like go on dates and it's like, will you be my girlfriend? Will you be my boyfriend? Now I've worked with like 16-year-olds and what I asked is they laugh at me. They're like, what are you talking about? Nobody asks if you're going to be their girlfriend. We just sort of hang out, hook up, and that's how it goes.
That's crazy. And it's the craziest thing. The hookup word is crazy.
Yeah. It's normal.
It's normalcy.
Yeah. Because, you know, they don't have to communicate now. They can just text through the phone and say, hey, you know,
right.
You know, there's no communication.
And all these apps.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no communication. It's, so here we go. So basically it's just like, you're being in the room with, what is this generation again? My kid said, is it ZY or YZ? What is this generation now?
Now we're on Gen X or something.
Gen X or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, and they're proud of it. I'm like, oh. So they could be in the same car and stuff and not communicate with each other. They'd rather be on their phones communicating with whoever else on social media, that whatever the case may be. So just imagine these relationships that, you know, it's like, hey, they have acronyms. Everything's short. Everything's short written. It's everything is short and quick, and even the relationships are short and quick. It's almost like it's almost like a foreshadowing of the relationship.
It's actually kind of sad because it's really shallow.
No, it is very shallow.
It's really shallow. In my opinion, I think it's shallow. I think there's no real connection. I think there's no real understanding of what love is about. I think it's thrown around like it's some kind of like I don't know, party word.
But it's, you know, it's turned around. Throwing around like it's a fad, almost like it's the word of the season. You like someone, you love them, they love real quick, they do everything real quick. It's a fast lane life, like they go through as far as teenagers. And there, I mean, I don't know what the statistics are as far as transmitted diseases, but I know it's high up there because They're moving at this crazy rate, and they're not
much faster.
Yeah, than we ever did. They're not even taking any precaution.
Right.
Damn,
so many schools can't even talk about it. People are like, "Oh no, I don't want to talk about it. It's sex education." But then it doesn't mean that the kids are not having sex.
You know? Oh yeah, exactly.
That's very true.
It's this whole culture of instant gratification and movies where it glorifies like that popular boy, you know, and that the nerdy girl wanting to fit in or vice versa. It's just a very false narrative that it develops that if you're not like this then your life sucks.
Oh, absolutely. And you can't even communicate. I mean, they don't even know how to communicate.
No.
Like, I remember having just social skills from, okay, like for instance, you're with an adult, like you go visit your grandparents and you have to sit there and socialize with your grandparents and talk to them, ask them how, and these bring up social skills. Like, okay, this is like practice for the real world. They don't have that. So they communicate so much on their phone that when they're in front of someone, it's an awkward situation.
Are you speaking about my kids?
No, not your kids. I'm talking about my kids. You know what I mean?
I remember the other day when they came over.
I know, right? No, I haven't met Ray's kids yet. He sent me a pic. He just sent me a pic. Ray got kids, man. let me explain.
Well, who has the daughters? Ray, do you do a Reggie? I'm so sorry.
Ray has got
daughters, 15 and 18, right?
No, I got... Oh, that's mine. Damn, girl, you got a good memory. No, Ray's got daughters.
I remember.
Send me a picture. He's looking at me. He's going to kill me.
No, I'm not. It's okay.
He's lying. I can feel your energy, bro. I can read you. But I'm not even going to put this on here, but this is hilarious. So anytime you said... You okay with this?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Anytime
you... Oh, sorry. They asked me. I'm like, I'm good.
He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me, but it's cool. Anytime you send a picture and... You know how you see the stuff? Okay, you know how you see a news, let's say from New York Times, and there's a group of people?
Yeah.
And they have from right to left the names? Uh-huh. Anytime you send a picture and you put from left to right the names, you got some kids, bro.
He's getting at is that, so Kara, my wife, and I are both divorced, right? So we got back together. We got together, and she had kids, and I have kids. So yeah. She's got some adopted kids and she has biological kids. She's got one child from Africa, two from Haiti, and then she has two biological.
That's kids. Amazing.
Which is awesome. I agree. Yeah. It's so awesome.
So we went to Blue Ridge, Georgia on a trip. We took a picture and we were missing one kid, but we took one of the girls' boyfriend. So I sent Reggie a picture of us because I talk about the family so much. He doesn't have an idea of, he knows a few of them, but he doesn't know everyone. So I took a picture. Yeah. I sent him a picture of everyone. So he has an idea of who I'm talking about. And I went like in a caption, if you're watching a newspaper or something like that.
Yes, exactly. That's what I just said.
I put down the names and close. I put down from left to right.
Yes.
Each person. And it was kind of long. You know?
That's what I just said. That's exactly what I just said.
She needed like a little bit of, you know, history on what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, cool. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I need a context. Thank you for that.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for that.
So back to why women cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going back to that. I'm leaving that out of the show. It's not even going to be in the show, bro. It was just for Pooja. It was for Pooja.
It was for me. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, to just sort of kind of like touch back on that, well, you know, when we talked about why men cheat, the study that I'd used from the Journal of Sex, which was done via University of Maryland, was that, you know, men tend to be motivated more by sexual desire, variety, situational forces, like, you know, being away on vacation, work trips, things like that. Women were more primarily likely to be motivated by neglect. So we're looking at, you know, emotional neglect or sexual neglect. You're not, you know, paying attention, not really paying attention. If she's staying at home and taking care of the entire household, it's not getting appreciated. Things like that tend to motivate women. You go back historically, right? Like mm-hmm. when we were all caveman days?
Yeah.
Men were hunters, women were gatherers, and women needed the strongest, like, caveman to attach to so that they could protect them, mm-hmm. their offspring, and guarantee, like, resources, protection, food, survival. But, and so women always took on that role of, like, being, okay, I'm going to, you know, take the food and take care of all the other stuff in the house and the kids. But things have changed over the years, and a lot of women also have their own occupational identity, professional identity.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. But the roles at home haven't shifted all that much. Like that's right. Still, oh, wait, that's your job. So that's something I think that can build resentment oftentimes because they might feel like, why do I have to, I work to pay the bills and I come home and cook and clean and take care of the kids. I don't get to have poker nights or play video games or whatever. So that's a form of neglect that they're going to pick up on is according to, you know, what I'm interpreting neglect as, emotionally not paying attention to what they need or even sexually not having sex as often as the female partner might like in a relationship or in a way that they might like.
How does the five love languages come into play in that? Do they come into play in there at all or?
You know, I don't really can speak to that. I haven't read that book. And I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of the five love languages.
Okay.
You're not.
Because I think it's too general and it's about like, oh, some people, you know, as far as I know, it goes by, they'll express their love by giving gifts while another by sharing their emotions and telling you how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great information to know. That's a variable to know about your spouse. You should know what they like. And they should know how you express it, of course. But I don't know if that plays a role, really. I mean, in this thing, because it's cheating is such a complex thing that the study has found that, you know, infidelity can happen to anyone, even couples in seemingly stable relationships. Mm-hmm. So it's not about wanting to leave or end a relationship often. It's just fulfilling a need. I mean, like, I've heard many of the couples I've seen where this has been the case, or individuals where this has been the case, that it just kind of helped them to blow off some steam outside, get like an escape from their day-to-day, but they were able to be more present when they came home from their escape in that way. But also, statistically, women are more likely to leave their primary partner for the person that they've had an affair with if it's like love. Goes beyond the love that they may feel for their primary partner, men.
Do you believe it's love, or do you believe it's more so? Because I know in women, being physical is more so emotional. So, do you think they confuse it with love when it's more so lust?
I don't know. I mean, how do men? Do you think? Like, how did you know your partner was the one? Like, were you confused?
No. But here's the thing. I can't speak for every man, but I know I'm more so. So, like I told you, I mean, if you know my background, a single parent household. So, I've been raised like your name to worship a woman. You know what I mean? So that's why, because I've seen my mom. So I appreciate that. So she, and the way she raised us and guided us is to have respect, open doors, and whatnot, and for elders and for women. So for me, I think I've taken on part of that. I don't want to say feminine vibe, but I have a little femininity in me.
Or being respectful.
Yeah, exactly. And being more emotional and sensitive, because I grew up with a single parent. So, you know, you're with a woman, so you pick up on their energy and you pick up on their habits in a sense. You know, no, I don't snap my fingers or nothing like that, but when I get angry. That makes me more sensitive and more...
Understanding?
More understanding, more... empathetic to a woman. So I go off the need. So that's what I'm saying. I can't relate to every man, but with my partner, it was off of that. You know what I mean? So maybe I'm a hopeless romantic. So I don't know. So that, I could blame that. Yeah.
Well, she's very lucky.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, no, there are many people who
this guy,
we should have Carol on here. Be like, so what do you think?
Yeah. We should definitely have Carol. Definitely have Carol. You know what I was thinking?
We're going to have Carol here. Remember?
Yeah, we are. We're going to have actually have couples night out. Yeah.
Ooh.
We have the women. We have both wives on here, and we're just going to, how well you know your mate kind of type of deal. It'd be
cool.
Yeah. It's really cool. I think so. Ray just keeps avoiding the date, so I don't know.
What else are you avoiding there, huh?
I know, right? He's like, no. I'm like, yo, you talked to your wife yet about this? Yeah. Okay, what'd she say? Crickets. And he's like, oh, how about them Lakers? Okay.
So sometimes it's just hormonal, too. I mean, you know, like some women like sexually hit their peak in their 30s, whereas men are... like in their late teens, 20s, when they hit their peak.
See, I keep hearing that. I keep hearing when they hit menopause and it spikes back up. So when you say when you say they hit their sexual peak, it's define that for a man listening to the show. What the hell does mean that she hit her sexual peak? Did she stop wanting to be adventurous in the bedroom? Does it mean she's not going to take up pole dancing lessons or workouts, or you know what I mean? Like, generally, define that for us.
Sure. So there's so many different aspects to this. I mean, not many women don't hit menopause at like 30, but you know, I think as you get a little bit over your 30s, closer to your 40s, you know, the biological clock is like ticking. So you are in this urge to like procreate, because like you could pretty soon not be able to, although that is not always true these days. Many women can reproduce into their 40s. I mean, that's not unheard of, and until they're, you know, regularly menstruating. But the hormones will spike because biologically, right, that is their time to conceive before it may not be fertile as much. So that could be, that's one biological basis for why, like, many women hit their sexual peak in their, like, 30s or their, like, mid to late, where they want more sex or they want different types of sex. Whereas men tend to, in their, like, late teens or teen years, 20s, are sort of very on the prowl, because at that time, they're also, their stamina levels are different. They're younger, so their offspring are going to be better taken care of. Because women that are younger, right, like, they're able to have less sexual dysfunction in terms of, you know, biologically being able to be ready to have sex. It's more quicker. Mm-hmm. And then that hormone peaks again back in, I think, the 30s to closer to 40 or whenever you're getting closer to, like, menopause, because you're, you know, this is your time. This is when you're fertile. So there's a huge biological component for our sex drives. It's for our survival of the species, but also it's just sort of also depends on what each individual is not getting in their relationship, what their history is, what their emotional traumas are, things like that play a role. But again, you know, infidelity, it doesn't always mean that it, that relationship is unhealthy or they are, you know, on the brink of divorce. It could just indicate that there's some things that people need, maybe an adrenaline rush. Some people like that secret. I don't know if you guys ever saw that show. I'm blanking on her name right now, but she was married to the housewife, not the Real Housewives, but that actual show on ABC.
Desperate Housewives?
Yes.
Eva Longoria?
Eva Longoria, yes.
And like Tony her Parker? Character. Oh, you're talking about real. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about her actual.
But on the show.
Oh, her show, okay.
Ooh,
her character was like married to this rich guy who was providing for her in every way.
Oh, and she kept cheating with the lawn guy and everything, the pool boy?
Yeah, right.
Oh.
You know, because she was, it was just like a new thing to, you know.
She needed a thrill in her life.
He weighed a lot. He wasn't always in the mood, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like this younger, hot, like housewife. So she was always looked at and, you know, thought of as a sexual object, and she liked it. So to be admired.
Right.
That's her identity. And then, of course, it shifts later on in the show, you know, where she became the breadwinner and things change. But initially, so it's sort of like that.
Well, do you think it was a play of empowerment? It made her feel more powered, you know, more empowered and feel like she had the authority, not just over the household, because he was a breadwinner, but, you know, she was just a, lack of a better term, desperate housewife.
Well, she sounded like she was excited.
Sometimes. No, but she was just a trophy wife. So basically, she had no, from the show, what I remember, she didn't have any attributes that could contribute to the household.
Because she was still, trophy wife. She still had feelings, though.
No, but I'm saying, do you think
because she didn't financially contribute?
Like financially, or she didn't feel any control, like he controlled the credit cards and everything. That was her way of empowerment. Like, okay, so I have this pool boy that's younger and whatever, garden boy.
Revenge, working out, you know, passive aggressively.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with you, so this is where I have my powers, my womanhood, and I'm going to control that and be in charge of that.
Yeah, look at psychoangelizing the damn Desperate Housewives.
I know, right? Right?
That's like a classic example where that neglect plays a role, right? So there's that. But yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, you're good. I was going to say, are there any particular signs that your spouse, your female spouse, is cheating or debating? And cheating, are there red flags a husband or boyfriend should look out for?
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I think this can go both ways, right? Like if there's a different way that they prefer sex all of a sudden, or there's like new things that they're doing.
Whoa.
So that you may not have talked about.
Don't speed through it. No, don't speed through it. No, listen. Don't speed through stuff. She was like,
bro. This is the important.
If you're touching on points, I want to understand your point. So if they start saying, let's try something different, it can't just be organic and innocent. No. It has to be, well, I'm with the pool boy.
And if she wants something new and exciting, you got to be watching out for that?
She was saying that. That's what she just said.
Okay. I didn't say that. I said that if all of a sudden
she wants to try a new position or something.
Things are, right, or things like, you know, are different, mm-hmm. done for you.
Yeah.
there's a change in the way that she's dressing. She's looking more attractive daily. She's putting herself together more than she used to a little while ago. Is she more excited these days? Is she planning, you know, more things outside of the home or trying to be like, oh, I'm going to go do this, but something they didn't do before?
Okay.
You know,
yeah. So differences in the routine.
Okay. So
patterns, appearance, maybe things that they're trying out in bed without kind of maybe being something that has come up with you guys before.
Gotcha.
Because you know it's worked and with the other partner, but that's also not very. You know, we didn't address this for men, so I want to be equal opportunity here.
Oh no, we're definitely being equal right now. No, you know, we had that time.
And so for men too, I mean, similar stuff, right? Are you smelling different things?
Right.
Are they all of a sudden not as interested in engaging with you or their female spouses? Are they kind of checked out? Are they finding more ways or reasons to be out of the house? Are they going to the gym more, putting more effort into what they look like?
Gotcha.
What about? Sorry, carrying my little.
Oh no, you're fine. No, we love it. We love it.
And you know, things like that. So there's subtle changes. Now, I think that oftentimes it's a really good sign if a partner can come to the other and tell you that this is what I want and talk about it. I'm feeling stagnant. This is how I want to change it up.
Yeah.
And both of you can kind of figure out what you're willing to do and how to do that. I think that can be a really good thing and can actually prevent someone from looking for it elsewhere. It's like role playing, you know.
Yeah, like that's what I was touching on. So, fellas, don't go crazy or berserk and go beat your wife or anything and blame it on the pooge. Because it could just be them talking to their girlfriends. Because a lot of women do talk to their girlfriends and hear about their sexual life. And
that's the other thing I was going to say. It doesn't necessarily mean that all those things.
Exactly. And they can get advice and hear about.
Online.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, because women are constantly reading.
So how do you enhance your communication, though? If you're going through that problem?
Touch on that today.
You want to say that for the?
Yeah, right. I don't think so.
I'm sorry. Hey, I was just.
So, I know. You're into. We're going to touch on that in the third segment.
Gotcha.
Again, you know, let me just reiterate that if all of a sudden your boyfriend or husband starts to dress nicely, is looking better, doesn't necessarily mean that they're cheating. They might be doing it for you, or
themselves.
For themselves. It's just a way to feel good too for yourself and for women. Like I know. During COVID right now, it's hard, right? Like we can work in our PJs if you want, but I still like to get up and get dressed. Like I'm going to my office. I'm going to see someone in person because it helps me get ready for the day and feel good and put my positive energy out there about what I want to accomplish.
Yeah. I mean, and if your husband says, damn it, Pooj, why are you dressing all up in this damn house all of a sudden? Who are you dressing? He's lost his damn mind.
No, he's always like, you look nice today. I'm like, don't I always? Are you saying I look ugly otherwise? Gosh, that's funny.
And then you get that, right? It's like men can't win or women can't win, depends.
If a woman's just like, you know, getting dressed, losing weight, could be for herself to feel better.
What if their vernacular? What if their vernacular starts changing? Like all of a sudden you guys spend all your time together and let's say they start using terminologies and stuff that it's not regular. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, for instance, they start using terms and phrases that was not there because you just said the routines because you've noticed that before. Like, let's say if your wife or your husband's has a best friend now and they're chit-chat.
Using their words?
They're using their vernacular. They're using their terms and stuff like that, terminologies. So what if you guys are like, so let's say they're at work all the time and there's no in-between. So where is this new terms and terminologies and catchphrases are coming from? Should someone wonder, could that be a sign that they're talking to, and it sounds more like a guy. You know what I mean? Excuse me. It doesn't sound like, hey, girl, get your hair did or something. It sounds more like something that men would say. You know what I mean? That could be that they're having a friendship outside of the relationship because they're using terminologies and things like that you normally wouldn't use, and there's no space for that.
Maybe. I mean, but look, if you see someone truly as a friend, whether it's a female friend, if you're a man or vice versa, then it really shouldn't be an issue to be able to tell your spouse about, hey, I met this coworker that we really clicked when we had this meeting and we do connect here and there on Slack or whatever through text, and I just want you to just talk about that, normalize that person in your life, because if you hide it, then that looks weird and that looks strange.
It does.
That's where it's like,
Yeah, when you find out.
Why would you just tell me that this is my friend
now? It does, but in a way, this, oh, man, it's so weird. It's so touch. It's so such a touchy subject because there's so much alternative motives these days. You don't know, like, you know, the saying, men can't really be friends with women. You know what I mean? Because there's always that underline attraction. Because
this goes people to trust.
To trust. But
trust
it's all,
and understanding your partner.
Yeah, but let's just be real. Like, if we're being real, we are visual people. And okay. We know what we like. So we don't see someone and say, you know what? Let me close my eyes and, you know, let me find the ugliest person to be a bestie with. No, you know what I mean? We are attracted to the person and we're drawn to them. And then we find out whether it's going to be, then we find out whether it's going to be a friendship or if, you know, where it goes from there. See what I'm saying? So it's more so the attraction that draws you to.
I don't agree with that.
To the opposite sex, you mean?
Nah. Yeah, to the opposite
sex.
So
you're saying you go to the person who's because they're attractive? Or what are you saying?
I'm saying your mind, we know what we like, so you're attracted to it. This is just how we are as human beings. So you don't pick a friendship because you're like, oh man, let me go get that one-eyed person.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Let me go get the gimp. No, you don't. I'm just saying, like, being real, you don't say, damn, let me go, you know, let me go get the amputee and be better. No, you don't, because your mind is, we look at things and we're attracted to things. I'm just being real.
That's
it sounds shallow, but it's legit. If we're being legit, that's not on this show and being 100%, it's facts, bro.
Are you saying that you will only befriend a girl because she's good looking?
No, I'm not saying, I'm generalizing it as far as men or women.
Okay.
A woman sees this and okay, so you're at the store. Just, we're made up that way. We are indoctrinated by society that we see a shirt we like, we go to that store. Everything's marketing. So we look at things and we're attracted. Yeah, exactly. Everything's branded. Yeah, exactly. So visually we see a person and we're like, oh, even I'm intrigued by that person. Even if it's innocent, I'm intrigued by that. The blouse that person's wearing. Oh, wow. You know, oh, the outfit. Oh, I like the style. Oh, I want to get to know that person. So it kind of builds up into this momentum in a sense. And then we go up to the person. If the person gives you eye contact and all of a sudden you're talking to the person, depending on how brave you are. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying we're not there's no way a friendship is just built on friend. I'm going to be, hey, friend. No, it's. They had an alternative. The reason they sought after that person is because they had something else in their mind. Whether I want to know them because they're beautiful.
I don't agree with that.
You don't?
Yeah. No. Well, because what about your guy friends? Are you like attracted to them in that way?
No, I'm talking about the opposite sex. I'm talking about the opposite sex.
You're saying friendship.
Let me just say this about me. So
platonically, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I, like I said, you guys can say what you want.
When I meet people, yeah, it's based on like the situation or circumstance. It's not based on the visual most of the time. I can tell you that for a fact. It's not always like that for me personally. Mm-hmm. So it's just based on situations.
There's also like for a lot of people, like they may not be that attractive to you right away, but if you work with this person and you see them on an ongoing basis or you're part of some group where you see this person, you like their personality, they make you laugh, or maybe, you know, they start to really connect on the same values.
You see past all the flaws. You see the person.
Absolutely.
And that makes them more attractive to you.
Yeah, right. I agree.
It's a very abstract concept.
That's something you didn't see coming. But see, I'm saying the majority of the friendships that you start, I think, is visually.
Like Shallow Reggie over here, he's talking about.
I'm shallow. I told you that. I got a deep part and I'm shallow.
There's a movie about you called Shallow Hell, by the way.
Oh, I saw that.
That's a good one.
Would never go up to like a woman you find attractive at a grocery store and be like, hey, girl, what's your name? Because that would obviously not be for friendship.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. I'm just saying, as a single person or whatever the case may be, if you want to. I just think you're attracted to what you're attracted to. So basically you're drawn to, okay, hey, I think it starts off as wanting to be something more. And then it turns out to be a friend because, hey, you're in a relationship. Exactly. Oh, you're in a relationship. Okay. Let's be friends. And that's not the initial reason why you stepped up to that person.
Oh, right, but also accepting the friendship is not the reason. You're just going to be like, oh, okay, cool, but secretly hoping.
What a lot of guys do. And let's be real. That's what a lot of guys, you even spoke from experience. You said, last time we spoke to you, you said you've had things where guys took things out of context and you had end of friendship.
Of course, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. See, because they come off as a pale horse, not a pale horse, but a Trojan horse disguised as, oh yeah, you're a thing. No, that's cool. Let's be friends. But that's not their initial reason for stepping up to you or wanting to get to know you.
That's probably just them. Not per se. You're speaking in general for all people, right?
I'm not speaking for all people. If I generalize it, it would be a majority, I would say. I'm sorry.
I think you're right. I mean, in that case, like, yeah, right, a lot of people, you know, before maybe have a lot of friends of the opposite sex, but once you get a relationship, you prioritize that relationship, and that partner may not like some of the friends that you have of your opposite sex. And so ultimately, you kind of have to stop spending as much time if you value the relationship. But now, this is tricky because if you truly have a friendship and it's platonic and there's no threat of like anything being more than just that,
yeah,
then it's not fair for you to have to end a relationship with a friend just because it's a guy and you're, you know, or a girl and your girlfriend doesn't like it or your boyfriend doesn't like the fact that you guys are close.
That happened to me years ago.
Long
time ago. That kind of happened to me.
Yeah.
I had a good friend of mine. We were really close.
Yeah.
And she was even married at the time.
Gotcha.
And then she went through a divorce or whatnot, and I was always still her friend. I would go over there, hang out with her, whatever. But I never saw her as someone I wanted to be with because I loved her as a friend wholeheartedly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then one night she tried to come on to me.
Gotcha.
And I told her, I said, look, I love you as my friend. I said, we can't go past this because it would be different. Our relationship would be totally different. Yeah. I don't see you that way. And she told me she didn't care. She just wanted to be with me. Yeah. And I said, listen, I just can't do that.
Yeah.
I just can't. And so she kept trying to do something with me. And I said, I have to leave. And I left and I never talked to her again.
Were you in a relationship at the time or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
But see, I guarantee you that she was getting the emotional validation and the support from you that she was not getting from her spouse.
She was. Because, like, listen, if she needed me, I was there. If she wanted. Right.
You were
like,
the guy that was there.
All the time. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She was. I mean, I was down for her because when I first came to San Diego, her mom and she and her mom took me out. Showed me around San Diego. And I was so thankful for that. I mean, I was so happy they showed me out. They took their time to show me out. So I was always grateful to her for that. So,
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. It is sad, but, good guy. You're a good guy, for not going past that boundary. Not only that, infidelity, I mean, her, you know, committing adultery, good for you, buddy. And I'm being real, but on that note, I was going to touch back on what you were saying before, Pooja. I'm not saying if you have a friendship before the relationship that you've just got, because I think anyone that's coming in should respect anything you've had before because they came before, became before you. But I'm saying there's probably people that are disguised. I think maybe that kind of exposes people's real. I think that exposes
motive.
Yeah, motives. So let's say they get in a relationship and they're like, either they're being different and whether it's the guy or the female, they're being different towards them, towards you or whatever the case may be. And kind of like,
their tail shows pretty much.
What's that mean?
Like they're showing their tail, like they're showing what they're really about.
They're hating on the relationship and whatnot too. You know what I mean? So they're calling out negative things. Oh, this guy's nothing. He's this. Oh,
right.
Whatever the case may be. So I think that also tells exactly what you said. Short tail.
Shows their tail what they're actually going to be doing.
Is that a southern term?
Probably so.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard show the tail.
I've heard show their true colors. Is that?
That's the same thing.
The same thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's so much there. And I mean, when you get into a relationship, eventually you are going to lose friends of the opposite sex because you do have to prioritize your partner. And if there's a history where maybe you guys hooked up when you're friends in college or something, but no longer do that. However, there is that history. it's always going to feel a little weird for your significant other to see them all the time, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to that you guys have such a rich history, or there's a large part of your life that they know about that your spouse would never kind of get the full picture of. But you know, I think this will be a good place to kind of pick up next week, and we can Absolutely. Kind of talk more about, you know, what are the behavioral outcomes following infidelity. You know, I'm thinking, how often do couples break up from it? How often does the unfaithful partner leave for the person with whom they've cheated? And does the motivation behind infidelity predict the outcome of a relationship?
Absolutely.
Ending or staying together?
Absolutely. And we want to thank you again for giving us your time and your patience, and as well as thank your, please let your husband and
your son,
because, you know,
baby mama,
letting his baby mama talk on
like his cute baby mama today.
Exactly. Giving us his baby mama time. We appreciate that. So let your son know and let your husband know. We appreciate it. And thank you again. Pooja, have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, Pooja.
Thank you, guys. And I really enjoyed being on here. And I look forward to our next little Thursdays with Pooja, I guess.
As we will, too.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, Pooja.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. And for how informative was that? How interesting was that? Could you believe and believe half of the things she was saying?
I cannot, but I want to say this, that Pooja definitely helps us out a lot. I mean, she definitely knows her stuff about women, relationships. Definitely informed there.
What I like about her, the fact, the way she brings the information, she just brings it on a real down-to-earth layman terms, and she doesn't, like I said, she doesn't identify herself above she's talking about.
She doesn't overtalk us.
Yeah, she doesn't overtalk. She doesn't sound overly intelligent. She is intelligent, but she doesn't wave that as a trophy in front of us.
Right. She doesn't throw out the labels and the name tags and the titles and I'm doctor or I'm, exactly. you know, so.
Or I'm licensed in this and whatnot. And she's very, like I said, the laid back term.
And she talks to us as if we're just.
Friends.
Friends. Yeah. And that makes it so much better to be, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to talk to someone and you feel like you're like not being talked down to.
Yeah.
You're being talked with.
Yeah.
And she's holding your hand.
Yeah. I definitely felt that a lot of points that she brought up and everything, as far as just even abuse playing a part in a woman being very overly sexualized and
right
playing that part playing like so basically, man, this all falls and stems from a lot of mental health,
and it always goes back to that, doesn't it?
Always does, man, because we all need help. We all need some type of help and seek help, but we try to cover things up and something will trigger it. Like whether it's pent up anger.
It could, you know, the thing about mental health is that we try to overlook it no matter what, but it's right in our face all the time.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Right in our face all absolutely. The time. And it's so evident in everything and pretty much all conversations, if you really think about it.
Yeah, mental health is becoming the new thing, which should have been the old thing, because it's always been there. It's just been disguised as something else. It's been hidden with alcoholism. It's been hidden with drug addiction. It's been covered up. Everyone thinks that, you know, it's people are choosing this addictive path, but it's just basically using something to mask something that's deeper beneath the surface. And until we raise our hand and say, hey, I don't feel good. I have a problem. A lot of things are going to continue to mask itself into other elements and ailments like addiction and drug abuse and domestic abuse. You're going to, you know, and losing your job and depression. All of this stems from
mental. Yeah, exactly.
Absolute mental, man.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. So guys, I hope you guys enjoyed the show part two, but there is a part three.
There will be.
You know why? Because there's no good movie that has a sequel that doesn't have a Is it a trequel?
No, it's not a trequel. trilogy.
Trilogy. Thank God. There you go. God damn. Thank you, Ray.
You know,
Ray is just the mind. You know what I mean? It's so, you know how hard it is just to talk off the damn
dome,
dude. It's just crazy. People don't realize that, but it's easy when you're having a conversation. Put a mic in front of you, and all of a sudden you second guess. You have,
imagine you're rapping.
Yeah, exactly right. You're like, God, I got to make sure everything sounds perfect. Got to sound so and so forth. I got to use this. Got to make sure I'm enunciating and pronunciation and dictation. Yeah. All that plays a part in what you do. But anyway, so you guys got to stay true for the trilogy.
You do.
I said, okay. Anyway, other than that, guys, see you on Friday for our movie reviews. This exactly. has been Reg.
This is Ray.
Did you say fun?
No, I was going to say great.
Yo, but we got to work on this damn bad boy thing, bro. Gosh, damn it. Look, mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. So this has been
great.
No, it's been Ray. Gosh, damn it, Ray.
This is so much fun.
Oh, we're shit. Getting bad boy for life.
Here we go.
Yo, so, okay. Take three. This has been
Ray
and Reg.
Like, subscribe, share.
Absolutely, bro. Hey, that's been working because you've been saying that, and I've been seeing people like, subscribe. I don't know about the sharing part, but they've been liking and they've been subscribing.
Once again, like, subscribe, share.
And guess what, guys? It's Bro Rants. We're out.